Just looking at the data that came through from the US last week, not a lot more detail. There's some evidence that parts of the economy are just running a little bit slower. We had June factory orders came out, and they fell by 4.8% for the most recent month, but came after a big gain going back the month before of 8.3%. So not a lot of weakness running through there. We also had some Q2 non-farm productivity and Q2 unit labour cost data. These come out after the first read of GDP. And what they show is that productivity, unlike here in Australia, had a reasonable bounce in Q2. It went from minus 1.8% quarter on quarter to plus 2.4%. So quite a strong growth in productivity in the US. But unit labour costs, though, still rising. Going back the previous quarter, we had a quarterly rise, a huge one of 6.9%. That was followed up with another 1.6% in unit labour costs in the second quarter. So there's some reason to fear that, you know, inflation is going to get pretty sticky in the United States. We also had the July non-manufacturing ISM survey, and that one was quite interesting in that it came down against expectations, and it's only just sitting above 50 now, 50.1 from 50.8 going back the previous month. But inside that, the prices components of that went up from 66 to 69. That's a very high reading and suggests that, you know, a lot of firms in the services sector in the United States are thinking about putting up their prices. So labour market in the US, we had initial jobless claims the most recent week, slight rise but nothing dramatic, so it's still suggesting against the evidence we had from the non-farm payroll data going back for the last couple of months that, you know, the labour market in the US is still relatively tight. So, you know, we've got a mix of factors there that suggests that the US economy is still holding together, not particularly weak. This week, we'll have some pretty important data as far as the Federal Reserve is concerned. We get, for example, the July CPI comes out on Tuesday, and it looks as if the CPI is going to lift from 2.7% year-on-year to 3%. This is the beginning of some of the tariff changes. Obviously, there's a lot more tariff changes that come into play later in the year. But, you know, that's a fair way above the Fed's target of 2% inflation. The core CPI is going to hold up too. It was at 2.9% going back last month. Looks as if it'll hold around the 2.8% year-on-year mark. So, high twos to low threes for inflation and marching higher. And that's a problem as far as the Fed's concerned. It's one of the reasons why, you know, the Fed has been keen to hold rates where they are. At least that's the view of the Fed chairman. Of course, we're going through, you know, the first stages of, you know, who takes over at the Fed next year. Obviously, as far as President Trump's concerned, he wants a chairman in there who's going to back up his policy ideas, and amongst those are, well, regardless of the inflation rate, we're just going to drive the official interest rate down. For the time being, though, the Fed will be holding interest rates comparatively high in the US. Some of the other bits and pieces of information we'll get out of the US this week: we get latest retail sales. They're expected to be relatively firm. They come out later in the week, and they're expected to rise about 0.5% after lifting 0.6% the month before. I suppose the essential point about the US economy is that even though we've got all of the turmoil around the various policy changes, we're still not getting any clear evidence that we're getting a lot of damage to US economic growth prospects. If anything, the US economy appears to be holding up comparatively well. Moving to China, and last week we had the Caixin services sector PMI out of China. It was quite a bit better than expected. It came in at 52.6, up from 50.6. So, you know, on that. And that one's a more reliable indicator, so it's not produced by the authorities there. So if anything, it appears that there's a little bit of a lift running through the Chinese economy. Also, we had their latest trade data and inflation reading for the month of July. And again, firmer than you might expect, given that China's right in the firing line for many of these tariff changes. So July exports, they were expected to moderate a bit. They were 5.8% year-on-year was the growth going back to June, lifted to 7.2%. That was well above market expectations of 5.4%. And on the import side too, some indication that demand's still running pretty strongly in China. We had a lift in imports from plus 1.1% year-on-year to plus 4.1%. Also, the monthly CPI, well, it was nothing to write home about. It didn't fall as the market expected. It was flat for the month. And as a result of that, the annual inflation rate has just trickled up to 0.4% year-on-year from 0.1% year-on-year. Producer prices, though, still very, very weak. And the latest producer prices out of China for July still point to a lot of excess capacity. They were minus 3.6% year-on-year going back to June. They stayed at minus 3.6% year-on-year month of July. So still quite a bit of deflation running there through producer prices in China. This week, we'll get the run of data late in the week in China for fixed asset investment spending, industrial production, retail sales, house prices, and the unemployment rate. And it's going to be a pretty mixed bag, we think. Fixed asset investment spending was up 2.8% year-on-year going back to June, maybe edges back to 2.7%. Now, having said that, obviously we've got some that very large dam which is being planned in China, which in time will be adding to those figures, not quite yet. Industrial production, it was pretty strong last month, up 6.8% year-on-year. That's expected to come back to about 6%, but still firmer than might have been expected a month or two back. Retail sales. They were up 4.8% year-on-year going back to June. They expected to moderate a little bit to 4.6%, way weaker than is needed to keep China's growth rate relatively firm. And so they need that up near double digits, and so it's a long way to go, and still haven't got the policies which would really encourage households to spend. And on that, one reason that households are still very cautious is that you've still got excess supply running through housing in China, very different position from many other countries around the world. And as a result of that, house prices still falling. Last month, they were down 3.2% year-on-year. They'll still be down probably around 3% year-on-year for the most recent figure. If anything, there's backhanded improvement in that. It's not quite as deeply negative, but it's still cutting into wealth expectations and confidence in the household sector. So that hasn't really changed. And the unemployment rate in China, they think will trickle up. So we think will trickle up to 5.1% from 5% going back the previous month. Moving to Australia, and last week, there were one or two interesting readings coming out. At the very beginning of the week, we had the Melbourne Institute's inflation gauge. This is one they do on a monthly basis. And for July, it had a lift of plus 0.9% month on month. That was after plus 0.1% the month before. And this may be the start of that base effect where we know that inflation is going to lift in the second half of the year relative to the first half of the year. So there may be the first warning of that in that particular number. Something else that's happening in Australia too is that we appear to be getting strengthening aggregate demand coming through. Now, much of it's being led by housing, and we still had lots of evidence over the weekend that things are booming in most centres as far as housing demand's concerned. But we had June household spending numbers came out last week, and they were up 0.5% month on month and 4.8% year on year. We also had the second quarter real household spending, and they were strong. They're up 0.7% in real terms, quarter on quarter, and that's lifted to 2.4% year on year. This is a big chunk of GDP when we get through to the GDP numbers coming out at the beginning of September. And it looks as if in Q2, aggregate demand has really shifted up a gear with these numbers. On top of that, we had a pretty strong trade balance for the month of June too, so it looks like exports had a really good month at the end of the quarter. Our trade surplus jumped from $1.6 billion to $5.4 billion. That's a trade surplus. And it was driven almost entirely by exports. Exports lifted 6% in the month. There's some signs of some strength in economic activity there as we go ahead running into the early part, running towards the second half of this year. And, that sort of sets the scene for the RBA this week. The RBA meets on Tuesday. Now, they'll be looking at things like, inflation was well-behaved in the second quarter. We had that CPI that came in at 2.1% with the underlying inflation rate at 2.7%. So for the whole of the first half of 2025, we've had inflation inside the Reserve Bank's 2 to 3% target band. They know it's not going to stay there. It's going to jump as we go into the second half. But you can't ignore that inflation's been down. So there is cause there for them to cut the cash rate 25 basis points to probably 3.6%. But in their forecast, there will also be cause for them to be cautious. And, aggregate demand lifting, for example, means that that will add to the base effect with inflation going up in the second half of this year. So they have to be a bit wary about that. And so, we get a cut with caution. That's the sort of way it looks. And it may take a long time before we get the next rate cut after this one. Could we possibly get a surprise like we got in July where everybody thought, as they do this month, that they're going to cut rates? It's possible. I think it's less likely than it was last month, but you don't know, because as I say, it's we are on the cusp of many things happening at the moment in the Australian economy. There's also some pretty key data that will come after the RBA meeting. And so we get things like the second quarter wage price index comes out on Wednesday. And the market thinks that this lifted 0.8% quarter on quarter after a 0.9% lift. That will leave the annual rate of change in wages in the mid 3% territory. If it's any higher than 0.8%, that would be a little bit disturbing, because it means that we've got really too much wage growth to keep inflation running lower. And of course, we know there's an awful lot of wage deals which have been running through over the course of the last few months. And at some point, they're going to get captured in the wage price index. So just watching that one. It's another one of the reasons why the Reserve Bank will have a fairly cautious statement after whatever it does on Tuesday. And on Thursday, we'll get the labour force data. And if anything, the softness in the labour market, well, it's really not softness, it's just a less strained labour market, where we've had very little employment growth over the months of May and June. Between them, we had almost no employment growth. Well, the market thinks we'll get a jump of 25,000 in employment when the July reading comes out, and if the participation rate stays around the 67.1 mark, that could actually bring the unemployment rate back down again to 4.2%. Going back last month, the unemployment rate actually went up from 4.1 to 4.3. In fact, the unemployment rate had been 4.1 every month, January through to May of 2025, and then we had this little bit of a blip upwards to 4.3. So it'd just be interesting to see where that figure comes in. But if anything, maybe coming back down again slightly to 4.2%. And then moving to Europe last week, we had the August Centix Investor Confidence Survey. That disappointed. It came down was minus 3.7% after being plus 4.5% the month before. So some softness there running through Europe. We had the July services sector PMI. That was a little bit softer than expected. It was expected to improve slightly. It came in at 51 from 50.5. We had the June producer price index, that showed that we're starting to get a lift in producer prices again. Producer prices have been falling a little bit with lower energy prices, and they were up 0.8% month on month for the most recent month, and that lifted the annual rate of change in producer prices to 0.6 from 0.3. We also had June retail sales. They were a little firmer, up 0.3%. So the annual rate of change jumped to 3.1% year-on-year from 1.9%. So some growth running through retail sales in Europe. And just in the UK, the Bank of England met, after being on hold for a few months, they delivered a 25 basis point cut to 4%. This is largely about concerns to economic activity over there. In fact, the most recent inflation readings have been high. So there's not much room for them to bring the base rate down much further. The inflation rate in the UK is actually at 3.5%. So 4% is the base rate now. There's very little room to move that down much further with that type of inflation reading. Europe this week, we'll get some revised Q2 GDP. Q2 GDP, the preliminary read of that, was actually reasonably firm relative to expectations. Our market expected that GDP growth would be flat, came in at plus 0.1%. So the annual rate of change at 1.4%, not great, but slightly better than otherwise expected. But all told this week, I suppose locally it really does come down to the RBA and what it does with interest rates. We think 25 basis point cut to 3.6. But with a lot of caution in the statement that comes through. They'll also be producing their economic forecast, and that'll be showing the struggle to just get inflation to stay inside target band after a blip back upwards in the second half of this year. And always watching towards events in the US. We don't seem to be aiming for any more shocks in terms of tariff announcements out of the US. But just watching some of the data coming out of the US just to see how it's performing for the time being is holding together relatively well.